Hi, everybody who's on the line. I think I've greeted most of you as you've come in. I'm Kathy Hatch, and I'm with April. And I'd just like to welcome everybody to today's call, which is sponsored by the ILNet, and it's hosted by April. That's who I work for right now. So we're happy you could join us, and we're looking forward to a lively discussion on this. This is a really good topic. We have an hour and a half, so we'll start out by introducing our speaker. Who'll talk about bullying and the strategies and partnerships for change. We want to keep this as conversational as possible, and I know there will be questions that will come up as we go through the material. So we'll have John go ahead and get started, and as questions come up, if we can just be as courteous as possible, and you know, I think we'll welcome questions, but we'll also have a time for questions after he's done. So a little bit of housekeeping before we start. First, we are providing CART today. And if anybody wants to check into those captioning services and listen as we go along, or read, too, as we go along, just go to the April website, which is www.april-rural.org, and you'll see the IL conversation listed right on the front of the webpage. And then you'll see a link to CART. And you can also send questions to me via the chat line on that if you get in there and want to do that. You'll also see a PDF file on there, which is John's PowerPoint for today, and he's going to be following that as we go. So if you'd like to, you know, look on a I guess you have, I don't know how many computers you have to do to have to do this, but if you want to follow John's PowerPoint, you can do that as well. Then the next thing is real important. This is about the muting and the hold buttons on your telephone. Okay, please do not put your phone on hold. We've had the situation before where someone has put the phone on hold during the conversation, and we ended up listening to their Muzak for the next few minutes. Yes, and so we had to switch lines and everything. If that happens, I have another line, you know, set up. If something crazy happens, I have another line set up so we can switch over. But just in case, please don't do that. Use *6 on your phone. That will mute you, and it also helps keep out any extra background noise or, you know, anything like that. You also then use *6 to unmute when it's time to, you know, if you need to ask a question or if you want to say something. So, and again, you know, it's just the old reminder of cell phones and speakerphones sometimes do cause distortion on the line. Our speaker today will have a speakerphone, so we're going to try to keep it to a minimum by making sure everybody else is on mute. Again, that's *6. Then we'll get to the question and answer part after John makes his presentation. And like I said before, we'll just, if questions come up throughout, we can answer them, but there will be a question and answer time as well. And anybody who's listening in or watching on CART has that option as well. So thanks again, and hopefully this will all go well today. And again, that's *6, and please don't put your phone on hold. I'd just like to introduce our... What's that?
The email address again.
It is www.april, like the month, April, -rural.org. Okay? And our facilitator today is John Johnson, who is an advocate trainer at OptionSIL, and he's based in East Grand Forks, Minnesota. Option serves portions of both Minnesota and North Dakota, and John's been with Option since 1998. He makes lots of disability-related presentations at the local, regional, statewide, and national levels on a variety of disability topics. And in addition to trainings, he works as a systems change advocate on issues such as housing and transportation and brain injury, both traumatic and acquired. Recently, he was instrumental in assisting in the passage of an anti-bullying law for the state of North Dakota and is working with Minnesota now with their state attorney general and legislators to introduce that type of legislation in that state during this next legislative session. So again, we're here today to talk about bullying and strategies and partnerships to help change that in our country today. So now I'd like to turn it over to John Johnson. John?
Well, thank you, Kathy. And you said we hope things go well. Do you have any doubt that they will go well?
No, I'm sure they'll be just wonderful. But we are using lots of different kinds of technology, and
yes,
as we all know.
I realize.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly not technically as proficient as I would like to be. Yes, my name is John Johnson, and where else would I be from with a name like that other than Minnesota? Although I did hear somebody who's from Norfolk, I was there for a while. I just returned from California doing a national training out in Long Beach, so I do get around the country some. If you have a hard time hearing me, I am undergoing some dental work over this summer, so I'll try to talk as slow as possible, but, you know, if there's something you don't understand or don't hear, just interrupt and I'll certainly rephrase it. Okay. This summer, we're talking about bullying, and we're going to address bullying as it relates to kids, adults, schools, the workplace. I'm going to touch a little bit on just bullying in general and how it differs from harassment. Let me tell you a story. This summer, I have a high school class reunion. And I won't tell you how many years, but I do remember the Beatles when they were at their heyday. So that gives you an idea. I graduated from a school with under 100 kids per graduating class. In about fifth grade, there was this young girl. She came to our school, and one of the boys in our class said that she had lice. And he said, "Don't touch this girl because she has lice." It was never a fact that she had lice, but this boy said it. That stigma carried with that girl all the way through elementary, through junior high. "Don't touch that girl. She has lice." This little girl would walk the hallways of our school with her head down. She was a pretty smart girl, honor roll student. I don't, you know, probably be honor roll. She was quite attractive. Really didn't have any friends. In high school, nobody dated her because that stigma of this boy saying that she had lice stayed with her. She's never come to any reunion in the past, and I don't blame her. In high school, I was a power player. I was in student government, athlete, whatever. I did never tease her about the fact that she had lice. But I never stopped it either. I never stepped forward and said, "Hey, knock it off, give the kid a break." I did not do that. I followed the crowd. Didn't tease her, because thankfully my folks raised me that I would not do that. But I didn't stop it either. In planning for this reunion, I wondered if this girl would come. She was sent information and didn't respond, so I called her, and she said, "Yes, she plans to come." I said, "Oh, great, it'd be good to see you." I hope she does. But we're going to address today about how something like that can carry forward with a person. We have a person on our staff who has cerebral palsy. He's in his 40s. He was called a gimper and a retard while he was in school. He sometimes goes out with me when I go into the schools and give anti-bullying type talks. And he says, "I have forgiven those people that called me gimper or retard, but I have not forgotten." Prior to being a jock in high school, I was fat, and in fifth grade, this poem was said to me: "Fatty, fatty, 2x4 cannot get through the bathroom door." Now, that's a long time ago that I was in fourth or fifth grade, but I still remember that little rhyme, and I still remember those kids that said that to me. The harm and the damage of bullying can carry on for a long time. I've had adults, teachers, social workers, when I've given this kind of talk, come up to me afterwards and say, "You know, I was picked on. I was bullied when I was in school. And I remember those kids who did that." Now, maybe some of you, that never happened to you. Maybe some of you, you're going through your mind and saying, "Yeah, that did happen to me." or I remember that happening in my school. So today, hopefully, we're going to learn some techniques and some things will help address that. Bullying, and the focus of this is not just on disability, although that's the main point. 90% of kids with autism, some studies have shown, are bullied in school. Overall, about 80% of kids with disabilities are also bullied in school. But bullying also occurs about sexual orientation and gender issues. You maybe remember something on television perhaps about a year ago where this college student was outed on Facebook as being a homosexual. He had a hard time dealing with that and ended up committing suicide. I believe this was at some university on the East Coast. Sometimes race is an issue. I have a step-grandson who's half Native American and half Caucasian. His coloration is white, but he has some Native American features. High cheekbones, a little slanted of the eyes, extremely dark hair. In his high school, he is bullied by the white kids, who call him Breed. He's also bullied by the Native American kids, who call him a wannabe. In fact, the bullying got so difficult for this young man that he left the public high school in this town and went to what they call in Minnesota charter schools. They're state-run schools, state-sponsored schools, but they are not part of the public school system. So race oftentimes enter in. Also in the workplace, we're going to talk about that a little bit. Bullying is usually a term that's used for children. In the workplace, you can still be bullied, but that's more commonly referred to as harassment. Harassment is illegal. Let me repeat that. Harassment in most states is illegal. Bullying as an adult in most states is not illegal. Harassment in the workplace can be because of age, race, skin color, religion, disability, sex, gender, sexual orientation, family status, mental status, or criminal status. But technically, the difference in the workplace between harassment, I'm just going to touch briefly on the workplace. Workplace harassment usually involves an intrusive component that entails physical contact. Workplace bullying is almost always psychological, and that differs between youth and adult. Workplace harassment is usually linked to sex, race, or discrimination. Workplace bullying is usually a staged attack on a person's competency. A person in the workplace who's being harassed usually knows it. If someone's in your space, or if someone makes you uncomfortable in a sexual way, you know that. Oftentimes, bullying in the workplace, a person may not realize it for weeks or months until great damage has been done. It's commonly called office politics. Okay? But again, in the workplace, harassment is illegal, but bullying is not. Now, when we get to the school, we're going to talk about different states and their laws. As Kathy mentioned, 49 states have a law dealing with bullying in the public schools. One state does not. If there's anybody from Montana, your state does not have an anti-bullying law. If somebody, when we get to a question period in a little while, if somebody wants to shout out their state and how their law ranks, I've got that ranking. It's on the webpage that I have up there. It's on the last page, how a person can check out their own state. Now, Kathy mentioned I was working on a law in one of our states. As she said, we serve two states. Our sale, we're on the border. We're a border town. I'm overlooking a river, and that separates the two states. North Dakota passed an anti-bullying law that we worked with legislators and helped initiate last legislative session. That was not going to pass until a 16-year-old girl hung herself because she was being cyber-bullied. We had a series of workshops throughout the state. We did not get one state legislator to come to our anti-bullying workshops until that young lady hung herself. Then the legislators showed up, and then the law overwhelmingly passed, bipartisan support, both Republicans, Democrats, liberals, and conservatives, voted for passage of that anti-bullying law. It is a good one. It is rated an A++ bullying law. Now, Kathy also mentioned that I was working to initiate something in Minnesota. Minnesota has a law. It's one of those feel-good laws. Oh, yeah, we have a law. They do. There's no teeth in it. There's no mandates for schools to participate. There's no consequences if schools do not participate. There's no mandate that schools have an anti-bullying curriculum within their school setting. There's no mandate that the schools have in-service trainings for their teachers. And that's all that encompasses, all that goes into a good anti-bullying law. Now, the types of bullying is verbal. Verbal is the most common type of bullying. I mentioned my coworker who was called a gimper, a retard, a cripple. Usually verbal is just name-calling. I shouldn't say just, is name-calling. The physical is what we see on television, the hitting, punching, shoving, those kinds of things. There was something, I think it was on CNN not too long ago, where it was this father whose daughter was being bullied on the bus. And he went down to the bus stop. He was just going to talk to the bus driver and tell the bus driver what was going on. He had his little girl. I don't remember how old she was.
I'm Babel. There's nobody at home that I know of.
Hello?
But yes.
I'm sorry. Somebody is does not have their phone on mute. Is that Mabel? You need to use *6, please. Put your phone on mute. There, somebody did. Okay, John.
Are we okay?
Yep.
Okay. Anyway, this father took his daughter to the bus stop, and he was going to just talk to the bus driver. And he saw that student that had been bullying his daughter doing something or acting in an inappropriate way. Well, he confronted the young man, got physical. Well, he ended up with getting in trouble with the bus system, with the parents, with the school district, and so forth, too. So, but the physical bullying is the hitting, punching, shoving. Then there's indirect bullying. That's usually gossip, spreading false rumors. I'm going to be very blunt here in my language, but in junior high, especially amongst girls, and that's where it's the most prevalent, bullying is the most prevalent in the junior high or middle school years, and it's this type of bullying is most prevalent amongst females. Or they may say terrible things about a girl, they may say something about her clothing, that kind of thing. That's the indirect gossip and spreading rumors. Then there's a social bullying, which is you can't sit with us, you can't sit at our lunch table, you can't talk to us in the you can't walk with us in the hallway. We've had situations where in the lunchroom, as low as fifth graders, where this one mother called me and said that her daughter was excluded. She took her tray to a table, and this group of fifth grade girls said, "Get out of here. We don't want you to sit with us at our table." The social alienation. Also, birthday parties or other social gatherings where certain people will be excluded from those kinds of things. Then there's intimidation. We've also had reports of lower elementary grades, fourth, third grade, where one girl will say, go get me an extra dessert, go do this. They're kind of their gopher, and do this for me or you won't be my friend. That's the intimidation type of bullying. So far we've talked about verbal, physical, indirect, social, and intimidation. The last one is cyberbullying. That's what's different about when many of us went to school and today. I have a son that's a city police officer. He's assigned to one of the public high schools in our town, and he says the texting and the cyberbullying, it goes on 24/7. They don't allow it in the building. They don't allow it. Does that mean it doesn't go on? Of course not. But if they see it, teachers, staff, or him, the police officer, and there's other just school security, they will, you know, confiscate the cell phone or whatever for the day. But he said it happens as soon as the school day is over, and it doesn't let up. It goes on all night long. Again, when I was in school and when I was going through my fat period, if I got bullied, when I got home, I was safe. When I got home, I had a supportive family, or I forgot about that sort of thing. I could go on with my day, I could play outside, I could play with my dog, I could watch television, whatever it might be. And then the thought of being bullied doesn't really hit me till I got to school the next day. With the advent of texting or cyberbullying, again, it's 24/7. And that goes on down into the lower elementary area. One of the interesting statistics is that 60% of kids who are bullies, not who are bullied, but who are bullies, have at least one criminal conviction by the age of 24. Statistically, also, parents are telling surveyors that they fear bullying of their child over kidnapping, over domestic terrorism, or suicide. They fear their child being bullied as opposed to being kidnapped, being a victim of terror, or in suicide. A lot of times schools are in denial. That happens a lot. Oh, let me finish my point about Minnesota. They have one of those feel-good laws. We have many schools on our Minnesota side that say, this doesn't happen in our school. No, we're on top of things. This just does not happen in our school. And we've had reports. We've had parents who have transferred their children to a different school. We've even had parents who've moved out of state because of bullying. Anti-bullying programs, schools that have had anti-bullying programs, it shows that bullying in their school drops by 50%. Sometimes schools aren't consistent. Sometimes their programs are too weak. One of the things that we found out is that, and I was a former school counselor. This was before bullying. This was many years ago also. This was before bullying was, it existed, but we didn't have the means to deal with it that we have today. Oftentimes schools put the two together. Well, you guys, or you students work it out. You seem to have an issue. Bullying is not a conflict. It does not need remediation. Bullying is about power. Let's say that a woman is being abused by her partner, whether it be husband, boyfriend, lover, whatever. Would you tell that woman, you two just work it out? Of course not. If a person raped, whether it be a man or a woman, you two just work it out. How ridiculous is that? But that happens in the schools, and maybe it happens in some of the schools that you're familiar with. Well, you two students seem to be having a difficult situation. Why don't you just work it out? Anyway, bullying is about power. I talked to a young lady one time who was a bully, and I said, why do you do it? Does it make you feel good? Does it make you feel better about yourself? She said, no, it doesn't. No, it does not make me feel better about myself, but I know it makes them feel worse. That was her response. We're going to talk a little bit later about a school survey that is that's out there now that I think it's the first place to stop. Okay, I've had kind of an introduction. I'm looking at my timer. It's about a half an hour. So what I would like to do is just stop here now, Kathy, and if we have any questions, what I've said so far.
Sure, that's fine. I have nothing on the chat at this point. If anyone has a question, just unmute your phone. You hit star 6 again and go ahead and ask.
I have a question.
Okay.
John, this is Krista from North Carolina. I'm trying to find out about utilizing the Kids on the Block bullying program and trying to just take it everywhere I can. Do you have any suggestions? Kids on the Block, you have to follow to the T. But I'd like to piggyback that with what you're teaching me today. Do you have any?
I really had a heart. Kathy, can you rephrase what you said? It was very choppy here. I could not understand.
Okay. Yeah, she said she's from North Carolina, and they have the Kids on the Block program. Mm-hmm. She was saying she'd like to piggyback what you're saying with what their program is. If you can,
sure.
If you can say anything to that.
Yeah, and I will later. I've got several kind of model school programs, and not saying that they're all encompassing. There's some that are more popular. So I'll get into that a little bit later. We'll talk about the some of the different kinds of programs that are out there, the different communities. And I want to stress, this is not, and I'll get to that in a bit here too, this is not just a school problem. It's often a community problem. But a good question, hang on to it. If I don't answer that to your satisfaction when I get to it, raise it again. Okay?
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, I'll go on. Bullying is repetitive. Bullying can be over the silliest things. I have 3 children. Two are pretty, nobody messes with them. They would stand up for themselves. One was much more passive. I bought him a pair of jeans when he was in 6th grade. I thought they were pretty cool jeans. They had zippers on the pocket. They had lots of pockets, like 2 in the front. 4 in the front, 2 in the back, the zippers. His teacher called saying that he was sick. And so I went to see him. I said, you sick? You were fine this morning? Not feeling good. Well, long story short, he was faking illness the days he wore those pants because some of his friends, some of the people he thought were his friends, were making fun of him because he was wearing those jeans with zippers. What I'm getting is that sometimes children will feign sickness in order to avoid being bullied. Sometimes absenteeism. We serve 4 Native American reservations in our service area, and I gave a talk on bullying on one reservation where there were social workers there. There were tribal police officers there and so forth. And one of the social workers said that absenteeism is rampant there. And there's a variety of issues for that, not just bullying. But she said bullying is a key component. There's oftentimes students who stay home just because they're afraid of being bullied. Low self-esteem, the little girl I mentioned that was said to have lice. She'd walk with her head down in the hallway, so low self-esteem. Depression, lonely, anxiousness, suicidal thoughts. I mentioned earlier about the young lady who hung herself, high school junior, age 16, because she was being cyberbullied. Many of you, if you come from a background where you're working with students with disabilities, The U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights has a letter, has a fact sheet that if a student on an IEP is being bullied, that's illegal. That is illegal. And your local regional Office of Civil Rights with the Department of Education, they can enforce that with the school. It can be very difficult. I mean, they can make it very difficult for a school if a child with a disability is being bullied, because that is illegal under the Office of Civil Rights for the U.S. Department of Education. And that was a fact sheet put out in October 26th of 2010. We oftentimes tell parents, get bullying written into your child's IEP, because then if it happens, you really have the school, you have them making much more of an accountable type situation. Also, one of the things, if a student reports that they're being bullied, do not ignore it. Talk to their child. Sometimes you have to be direct with them, and sometimes you have to be very subtle. As I mentioned, three children, if I talked to two of them and said, hey, is anybody picking on you in school, being bullied? They said, no. But the one child, he did not want me to get involved at all, so I didn't. Oh, by the way, I burned the pair of jeans. When it did finally come out after much conversation, much time talking with him, and it came out that what the reason was that he was getting bullied because of those jeans with zippers. I live in a rural area, so I said, bring your jeans. We went out to our burn barrel. Is it legal to burn? No. In our jurisdiction, do I do it? Yes. So we threw the jeans in the burn barrel and burnt them up. But talk to your child and listen to them. We've had situations where many children have told their parents, don't get involved. Don't get involved because it'll be worse for me if you get involved. The school will single me out, and that's happened a lot. When we were working to get this law passed in North Dakota, we wanted a bunch of parents to testify that the fact that this bullying did exist. Several parents said, it exists. They gave us examples, and we said, would you want to testify to that? And they said, oh no, I won't, because there will be reprisals against me and my community. There will be reprisals against my student if I would do that. So oftentimes parents are afraid to come forward. And again, like I said, in North Dakota, we did get some parents to come forward, and I'm going to comment on a term made public by Sarah Palin. She considered herself a mama grizzly. So we got a bunch of mama grizzlies in the state of North Dakota to go before the legislature and testify. It took a long time to do that, and we didn't get very many. But the ones that were willing to step up and testify, they were very effective, and that also helped. Sometimes parents will slough off bullying. There's a pastor in our community. It's a woman pastor, and she said that when she was in school, on the bus, kids would bully her. She told me the reason, I forgot why, or the reason they used. Didn't matter. They bullied her. And she had a new dress, and that dress got torn as a result of some kids roughhousing with her, picking on her on the school bus. She got home, and of course her father was livid that her dress was torn, and she told him that, well, it wasn't my fault. I was just sitting here, and kids did this and this and this. And the father's comment, what did you do to provoke them? What did you do to provoke them? So he turned, this father, turned the situation back on the was a victim. Now, would she go, she said, I never told my dad again. I never went to my dad again about anything like that because he turned it right around on me. Again, that happens. We tell parents also, if they choose to come forward, to do that. To ask your child where it happened, when it happened, and did anybody else see it happen? We had a situation last year where a young child with a disability had a hoodie. He was outside in the playground, and some kids took his hoodie and they hung him up on a chain link fence. They lifted him up and they attached his hoodie over the top of the chain link fence and left him there. Now, in our part of the world, in the wintertime, it gets cold. And the teacher said, where's whatever? And the kids, nobody knew. And then finally, they got somebody to say, well, I think he's still out in the playground. They went and they found him hung up on the chain link fence. Nobody knew who did it. Of course they did. Nobody fessed up who did it. They never got to the root of it. Okay? But sometimes parents need to keep records of that sort of thing. I mentioned coldness in our part of the world, and I'm getting to the point where it's not always a school problem. Hockey is a big sport in our part of the world because it's cold, because we have ice, and they like to play hockey. Sometimes parents have to spend thousands of dollars sending their children to hockey camps so they get to be a better hockey player. This one dad was telling me at a workshop I did, he said, you know, my son was in ninth grade, and before ninth grade, your hockey, you're not part of a school team. You're part of a community team. It's usually run through the local charitable organizations, such as Legion clubs, VFWs, those sorts of things, because it's very expensive to run this program. And sometimes parents pay for it out of their own pocket. Well, this parent said that his son was a very good player. He said, I'm not going to go out for hockey this year. Why not? Oh, I just don't like it anymore. Like it anymore. You're good at it. Well, it turns out he was being bullied because he was the best goalie in this particular age group in this town. But a more popular kid also played goalie. So the other popular kids picked on this kid so he would quit. And the father said, you know, my son's welfare, my son's peace of mind was the most prominent issue. However, he said, I spent about $10,000 in hockey programs and hockey camps until this point, and my son just couldn't keep up anymore. Okay? So it's not just a school issue. Again, sometimes schools remove bullies from the classroom. They give them school suspensions. Again, not always a good idea. Sometimes, and I was a school counselor, some kids, students caused disruption, so they would get suspended from school. That was a reward. Why not get kicked out of school so I can roam the streets or I can stay home and watch soap operas all day long? So that was a reward. A good school bullying program should also make counseling mandatory, not only for the person who's being bullied, but also some kinds of mandatory psychological counseling or anger management or whatever training for the person who is doing the bullying. Okay. Schools need a strong commitment from their administration. Again, that was a problem. There has been a problem in some of our schools where administrators will say it's not a problem in our school. My step-grandson, the part Native American young man, his principal said, we got 3,000 students in this school. I can't be everywhere and watch every student. Well, that's again passing the buck. The curriculums, and again, this is where I'll try to address this person from North Carolina who had the question about different kinds of programs. In our school, in our town, and it's a town of about 50,000 people, they have one of the more popular anti-bullying intervention programs. It's called the OWIUS program, Now, with a name like John Johnson, I should know how to pronounce that, but I don't. Dan Olweus, who
can
is...
Can you spell it, John?
I will. I will in a second here. He was a professor of psychology at the University of Bergen, Norway. So, again, I should know that, but I don't. Anyway, it's Dan Olweus, the O-L-W-E-U-S. O-L-W-E-U-S. Intervention Program.
I believe they pronounce that Olweus.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. Are you Scandinavian?
Nope. Just took the training and am familiar with the program.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. That's one of the more popular programs. In our North Dakota side of things, like I said, there was a law passed, and it's mandatory. I think there was something like 256 school districts in the state, and they had to have their plan in by July 1st of this past July 1st, and every school district met the deadline. And one of the things they had to submit to was a curriculum. Now, whatever she said, that OWIS intervention program was one of the more popular ones. It involves the teachers and the parents. It starts in lower elementary. It starts age 5, for example, and it goes all the way up through high school. That's one of the more popular ones. There's one called the PBIS, Positive Behavior and Support Program. There's one called Steps to Respect, and then a follow-up on that is Second Step. There's one called Responsive Classroom. There's one called Lion's Quest. There's also a program put out by PACER, and it's just if you Google PACER, you will find their program, and it's also one of the more popular ones. In our area, though, the OWIS, the PBIS, and the Steps to Respect and Second Step are the more popular programs for schools. But it involves more than schools. As I said, our community is about 50,000 people, and the teachers this summer are undergoing training on this particular program, but they've also involved the city law enforcement. Our city also happens to be a county seat town. So not only does it have a city police department, but it also has the sheriff's office and so forth. They're involved. Some of the other entities are involved as well. One of them, when we had these open forum meetings on this topic, one of the major components that we found interesting is that when we went to these communities and had these open meetings, and they were just advertised, open meeting on bullying, who could come? Parents, we had very few teachers, mostly parents, but our second largest group, and we did get some law enforcement, but our second largest group was the clergy. Now, in our area, the clergy should be involved, or faith-based groups. And I asked these clergy, I said, do you see it in your religious education courses? They said, oh, yeah, in our catechism, in our Sunday schools, in our other kinds of church youth-type groups, we see bullying. It goes out. Well, what do you do with it? Oh, you tell them to stop it, knock it off. I said, do you ever address it from the pulpit? Do you ever give a sermon on bullying? And I did not get one clergy who said, yes, we did. I said, why not? I said, doesn't it kind of teach you that in the book that you follow? I meant the Bible, of course. And they said, yeah. I said, aren't there some passages that you could develop some kind of a message from? And they said, yeah. I said, why don't you do it? And they said, never thought of it. I said, well, and I don't know. I don't know. I go to church. My clergy has never addressed it, nor have I asked him to or discussed it with him. But a message from the local spiritual leader should be important. Here's what I'm getting at. Bullying is not just a school problem. I mentioned this third or fourth grader that was having other girls go get her an extra dessert at lunch, or if you won't do this for me, I didn't bring my lunch today, but when you go to the lunch line, get me an extra banana, get me an extra sandwich, and if you don't, you won't be my friend. Well, this one mother called me and said, you know, it's not surprising that this young fourth grader or fifth grader is doing that, because her mother was also a bully when she was at school. And that sort of thing, you know, does happen. But anyway, community groups, other kinds of groups could be involved. You know, 4-H groups, the Scouts, there's other kinds of, you know, Big Brother, Big Sister programs for those kinds of things could be addressed as well through Get the Message Across. Some communities, Monroe County, New York, and I'm not even sure where that is, it just says Monroe County, New York, they've developed some billboards in the communities. They put up some tips on bullying on that billboard. They have actually a anti-bullying task force in that community. Okay. Does your state have a law? As I mentioned, South Dakota this past spring became the 49th state to pass a law. Some of the laws are rated A++, and this is done by the bully police. And I'll give you the website so you can check your state. It's www.bullypolice.org. That's B-U-L-L-Y, police, P-O-L-I-C-E, .org. And it lists all your state and when the law went into effect, and then they'll rate it. First state was Georgia in 1999, and I heard Kathy say there's somebody from Georgia on the line.
Yep.
And the last, South Dakota, now in 2012. So Montana, if you're out there, you're the only state that does not have one. And if you go to that website, you'll see the grades of the states. Some of them are A++. Now, am I smart enough to write North Dakota's law last year? I'm not. North Dakota had an A++. We copied Wyoming. I went to this one state senator and I said, why reinvent the wheel? Wyoming is a similar size state in population, in demographics. Why don't you just copy Wyoming's? Theirs is an A++ law as well. So North Dakota's looks basically like Wyoming's. There are other good model states that we looked at. Delaware, another A++ state. Virginia, another A++ state. Oh, by the way, Georgia, you're an A++ state. But you're a little too populous for us, Georgia. And North Dakota's a very small state in terms of population. So we looked at some of the states that looked more like the state of North Dakota. I mentioned Minnesota, which has 5.5 million people, moderately sized state. Our law is rated as a C-. There's a law, it's a feel-good law, there's no teeth. There's no mandates for any kinds of school follow-up. And again, you can look, and I won't go through all of them, but you can look that up in your state to find out where you stand. With that, I'm going to stop there for just a second, and we're at a little under an hour, and I have about 15 minutes left, and then we can throw it open. Yeah, 10 to 15 minutes left. We can throw it open to questions. Any questions at this point?
*6 to come off mute.
Could you repeat the website? It's different from the website on the last page, correct?
It's on the last page. Yeah, it's www.bullypolice.org.
Because it says .com on the last page, and when I went to it, it's not free. You have to pay.
If it says .com, that's my error. I submitted that. It's .org.
Okay, good. Okay.
It's .org. And I will change that. I apologize. Like I said, I'm not smart enough to write a law. Sometimes I'm not smart enough to transpose either. Just want to make you know that. I mentioned starting out that I witnessed bullying of this little girl. And I was a power player in my high school after I got over being fat. And I did nothing about it. What can be done? Are the cool kids doing it? Sometimes they are. Sometimes the cool kids are the ones that are doing the bullying. What can you do as a student? What can you encourage your child, your son or daughter, or other kids that you may work with to do that? Say some kind words to the student being bullied. Be a friend to them. Tell an adult. Okay, Kathy and I talked about this earlier when I was discussing this presentation. Go talk to your teacher, and Kathy said, what if your teacher's doing it? It happens. It happens. We had a young man, age 16, with autism. He was being bullied by his high school shop teacher. Being bullied by his high school shop teacher. The mother went to the school. Oh, yeah, well, that's just Mr. Jones. He's that kind of a way. Well, you know, my son has autism. He understands. He learns differently. He understands differently. He responds differently than some other children do. But I want him in shop. He wants to be in shop. And shop is good for him. School did nothing about it until they got a lawyer involved, until they got RSIL involved. RSIL, our direct service staff, does go to IEP meetings with students. They will, with parents. They will go talk to the schools, because sometimes parents are intimidated. They don't know the questions to ask. They don't know what their rights are, so sometimes they take an advocate along. Well, with the involvement of a lawyer, with the involvement of our SIL staff, that shop teacher got removed from that section. Did not get fired. Did not get fired. Our state has a strong, strong teacher union. Our governor, our legislator, tried to retract teacher tenure laws this last year, and they just got completely shot down. The teachers union went up in arms, and they got the legislature to back down on that. So, again, that teacher did not get fired, but he got removed from that particular section. So a different teacher came in and taught that particular section. So sometimes, you know, adults do that as well. We've had situations where people with disabilities living in group homes are being either harassed or bullied by staff. And so sometimes you have to deal with that. Sometimes student council can be active. There's some schools that have had student councils that, you know, be a friend for the day kind of thing, where the student council, the leaders of the school get involved and they say, hey, bullying is not cool. But other students can be a friend to someone. I wish I would have said to someone who told that little girl she had lice, knock it off. This isn't cool. Back off. I just didn't do it. Say kind words to the child who's being bullied. Did I do that? No. I just ignored her. Talk to someone else what is happening. And then who to go to in a school. As a school counselor, I used to get that a lot, that so-and-so is picking on me, or so-and-so is punching me, or so-and-so is doing that. And then you try to work with that as best you could. I had one football player. He was picking on this one kid with ADHD, just totally picking on him. And this football player came from a very dysfunctional family. His mom and dad both got drunk every night, would never come to his activities. So this football player came to school just aggressive, just angry, which the football coach channeled very well on the football field. This kid was a real aggressive football player, very good. But he came from just a tremendously dysfunctional family. And this little kid from with ADHD was talking to him, and, you know, and this football player hauled up and punched him. Well, the kid with ADHD came in to see me and talked about it, and so I went to the football player and said, did you do this? He said, yeah. I said, how come? Well, he said, he can't keep his mouth shut. I said, I know that. But I said, you know, this kid looks up to you. He said, he looks up to me? I said, yeah. He'd give anything to be 6'3 and 215 pounds and built like you and play football like you and be popular with the girls like you. But he's a little kid about 5'5", 130 pounds with ADHD. He would love to be you. And he said, but his folks are rich. His dad owns a business, and you know where I come from. I said, that doesn't mean he wants to be you. I said, do you want to play on Friday night? He said, well, yeah. I said, this discipline referral will not hit the principal's desk if you invite this kid to sit with you at lunch. What? What? I got to invite that little jerk to sit with us at lunch? I said, do you want to play? He said, yeah, I do. So they did invite this kid to sit with the jocks at lunch. I witnessed that when I went to the lunchroom. I never had another report that this kid was picked on by this football player. Did they become fast friends? No, did not. But at least we resolved that situation. Okay. So a consistent message, and we didn't have an anti-bullying curriculum in our school. No, we just did not. As a counselor, I just try to deal with those situations as best we can. But it's a community issue, as I've talked about. You should get the clergy, the law enforcement. Law enforcement really can't do anything unless a law is broken. I've had a sheriff come to one of our meetings. I can't do anything unless a law is broken. Parents say, well, so-and-so's picking on my kid. Talk to the parents. I can't do that. I can't do that unless a law is broken. But sometimes law enforcement, most of the schools in our, and I shouldn't say most of, many of the larger schools in our area have a cop assigned to their school, and unfortunately that's a sign of today's society. And sometimes those police officers are doing a real good job on that kind of thing. Okay. What goes into an effective school law? The word bullying must be in the text of a law, not just harassment. You've got to use the term bullying. It must be an anti-bullying law and not just a school safety law. You should differentiate between bullying and harassment, okay? You should not define victims. Okay, if you're of this class, okay, blah, and I threw out some categories of groups of people who are subject to bullying, that should not be in the law. So you shouldn't define the victim, okay? A good law involves the entire state, starting with the top education professional in the state, whether it's a state school superintendent or the director of the Department of Education. It should go through the school district. The law that was passed in North Dakota this last year, there were supposed to be community meetings. So the school district could not just write their own law and boilerplate it. They could not go to the next town and say, oh, what did you do? We'll copy yours and send it into the state. There had to be community meetings to find out what the issue was in your particular state, or in your particular community. It might be different. We have some urban cities, urban school districts, and we have some very rural school districts. I mentioned I got back from L.A. giving a talk on something on a Friday, and I was in this one town the next Monday morning giving an anti-bullying talk. This one town in grades kindergarten through the 12th grade had 63 students. So again, and we don't have anything urban like LA in our state, but what I'm saying is that this happens not only, and these were parents that wanted this talk. They went to the administration and said, we've got to have this talk. You've got to educate our kids about bullying because it's happening. A very small school district of 63 students, and this was occurring. So you got to have a set of rules and policies. One thing that separates schools, it has to be inclusive to both the public and the private schools. And that's one thing which brought North Dakota an A++ rating, was because this school law affected not only the public schools, but the private schools. You might say, well, the private schools, why did they have to comply? They ride public school buses. They get money for their meal programs. So they do get some government dollars to support the public schools, or to support the private schools as well. Okay? A good law mandates anti-bullying programs, not suggests. It just says you must have these types of programs available. The schools need to have the date they start their policy. They also have to have trainings for their teachers. Sometimes teachers, I don't want to learn about it. It's always gone on. We heard this, that bullying stuff. Kids are being picked on 40 years ago when I first, 30 years ago when I first started teaching. It's the same. It's never going to change. Well, those kinds of attitudes need to be addressed. And so not only are there programs, curriculums for students, but also for the teachers as well. And then there should be some teeth. Should be things involved in the law if schools do not comply. The last thing is a survey. And I put a survey on there. This is a pretty comprehensive survey. It starts with grade 4 and runs through grade 12. It says, what grade are you in? It's anonymous. Questions like, do you feel safe in school? Do you feel safe on your way to and from school? Do you feel safe on the bus? A lot of times, bullying occurs on the bus. It talks about being bullied physically, verbally, socially, electronically, or racially. Gender. Or have you witnessed it? Have you witnessed another student verbally being bullied, physically, socially, electronically, racially? Have you ever stayed away from school for being bullied? Have you ever tried to help another student who was bullied? Where does it occur? Most common place for it to occur is in school locker rooms. This happens a lot. But where does it happen in your school? Classrooms, hallways, entrances, exits, libraries, computer rooms, gyms, changing room or locker rooms, and like I said, that's the most common. Washrooms, that happens a lot too. When I was in high school, like I said, back in the day, that's where most of the stuff went on, was in the bathroom, especially the boys' bathroom. I don't know about the girls' bathroom, but the boys' bathroom. Buses, playground, on the way to school. Some kids take a very circuitous route to school because they want to avoid going by where some of the kids congregate. I mean, when I was in high school, we had this one place where all the smokers were, was off the school grounds, but that's where all the smokers hood out. They were kind of usually the tougher kids. So on the way to school, we just kind of avoided that spot where all the tough kids hung out and smoked. On the playground, lunchroom, parking lot, off the school property, but close, and they even say, off school property where the students smoke. On field trips or extracurricular activities, we've had examples of where kids have stayed away from extracurricular activity, you know, school field trips, because they knew that they'd be bullied or excluded on that. When are you more at risk of being bullied? Before school, during classes, between classes, during break periods or lunch, after school, on the weekends, or on field trips? And then what did you do about it? And again, if you look this up, and it's a really good survey, comprehensive. We gave this to a lot of parents, and they were going to share this with their school and take it to their community meetings when their school initiated, I was discussing their anti-bullying program. Sometimes my talks run 2 hours, but again, I don't see you, and it's really tough to listen to someone for an hour or so. So when I get direct interaction with my audience, it tends to be a little more energized, not only for myself, but for the people listening. So I'll stop there. Any questions?
This is Janet from Massachusetts.
Go ahead.
What do you do about cyberbullying? What are some of the best techniques to try to stop cyberbullying?
That's a tough one. Well, monitor your child's cell phone. And that's tough to do. I know when we had elementary students being cyberbullied, the parents would check cell phones and maybe block some numbers. I know if they saw some things on there that were inappropriate, they would block those numbers so that those texts could not be received by their child. Now, spreading rumors that the child does not see. Again, my son, who's a cop in this one school, and I'm going to be very graphic here, okay? Pardon me, but I'm going to be very graphic.
Please.
This one young lady, it was going around school that she had sex with the hockey team. She did not. but it was going around school that, oh, so-and-so, let's pick a name, Sonia. That wasn't her name. I don't remember her name, but let's say Sonia had sex with the hockey team on Thursday night at a party. Well, that went around the whole school. Sonia knew nothing about it, but it went around the whole school that that happened. Well, you know, school investigated it, and they got to the root of who did it, I guess, because cell phone texting leaves a trail. So they got to it and dealt with it. Now, how many hundreds of kids, this is for our urban school, as urban as 50,000 can be. We have three public high schools in our town. But, you know, that got around. Was Sonia's reputation damaged? Probably. Some of them probably just said, oh, that was just funny. But that's a tough one. You know, this 16-year-old girl that hung herself, my children are adults. At 16, did I have the right to go check her cell phone for text messages? Didn't have them back when my kids were 16, but I didn't do that. That's a really tough question. That texting, and that's what happened to this kid out on the East Coast. I want to say Rutgers, but I'm not sure. I shouldn't say, but it was someplace in the East Coast where this young man was on the internet or on texting that he was sexual orientation. He hung himself. That's a real tough issue. Education's the key. Okay, my wife smokes, okay? My wife smokes. All the grandchildren say, Grandma, you shouldn't smoke. I know I shouldn't smoke. And she doesn't smoke in front of me, but she smokes. I think smoking is a lesser of a situation now among school kids than it used to be. I think so. Why? Education. What I tell schools is that your 16 and 17-year-olds, you're not going to change them. They are what they are. That's why your curriculums and your education should go down to kindergarten, first and second grade. That's where the anti-smoking bit has come in, where you get that kind of thing. Smoking is bad for you. You see it on television. You see it in programs. You see it in health classes. So smoking is bad for you. I think if you hit these kids in kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, all the way up to sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth grade, that bullying is really bad and it can have some consequences. That's where you're going to see change down the road. As I said earlier, schools with effective anti-bullying programs have reduced bullying by 50%. You might say, that's only half, but at least you reduced it by 50%. So I think to answer your question, cyberbullying, if you can get to some kids and say, you know, that's really bad what you did. Sometimes a 16-year-old will say, get out of my face. I do what I do. You might hit a kid with a conscience who might say, yeah, that is bad. I shouldn't, you know, Sonya was a slut and slept with the hockey team. I shouldn't pass that on. You're right. I shouldn't pass that on. But you're not going to do much with the upper age children. It's going to have to start at an earlier age. And that's why the curriculum, it should be something that's ongoing in the schools. It shouldn't be just, oh, we had an anti-bullying program, we had an assembly on October 15th, we're done. It should be something that should be ongoing several times a year. It should be a curriculum. It should be part of the curriculum. So, long story longer, that's a good question. That's a good question. Have all the anti-smoking campaigns eradicated smoking? No. Have all the Don't Drink and Drive campaigns eradicated people who drink and drive on the highways? No, we just had a person who was going the wrong way on an interstate and schmucked and took out a young couple in their 20s and their 18-month-old baby, and she was pregnant, 3-4 months pregnant with a second child. He was three times over the legal limit, had been arrested many times for drunk driving offenses, but he took out this young family and one of their children and their unborn child. Very sad situation. But if you can reduce it by a little bit, that's important.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, this is Ted Stamp. I'm part of the Southwestern Center for Independent Living in Marshall.
Marshall, Minnesota.
Yeah.
I've been there. I got relatives there. Whatever.
we're good people. Anyway, my question is, I work with legislation on my job probably more than anything, or at least as much as anything.
Okay.
And my question for you kind of is, in the very practical way, you know, it's one thing to contact a legislator, which I've actually done on this issue in regard to things I've received on bullying, but you can send on the email and you can make the call and talk to their legislative assistant. But from there, I mean, a bill can have a lot of support, as you, I'm sure, know, and things can just go nowhere. So I'm just wondering, what's some advice you could give as far as what are the best things to do to try to expedite the process? Because if it has a law, it's got a law, something to work with, that's something. But now what more? And how would you say, what are the key steps now in going forward to talk to them, to getting...
Okay. Yeah, I know, and you're from Minnesota, so we know what happened this last legislative session. One thing happened. It was a sole mission of the legislature in Minnesota this session, and that was to pass a Viking stadium bill. That so the Vikings wouldn't move to L.A. or wherever. It got caught up in politics, and so I think... I know where it got hung up in Minnesota. It got hung up in the two education committees. And I've got their names and their addresses. And once, you know, they're going to get a shame on you letter from me. You know, what's it going to take? Is it going to take a suicide? Is it going to take a death? And it's like, I got something formulated here. A good policy should prevail over bad politics. It's not a conservative issue. It's not a liberal issue. It's not a Republican issue. It's not a Democrat issue. It's not a red state issue. It's not a blue state issue. It's a person issue. Sometimes, as you look on the national level, you know, there's good policy out there, but if it's sponsored by one party, the other party is going to oppose it. And that's what happened in our state, Minnesota, is that it was proposed by the Attorney General, who I talked to many times, who was of one party. The leadership of the legislature was of the other party. So they weren't going to pass anything that was backed by the Attorney General of the other party. So in Minnesota, and I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. It got caught in politics. Now, hopefully, there's going to be an election in 2012, so these legislators will have a couple years to breathe and maybe think of policy over politics. And I've already talked to the Attorney General, and we're going to hit these people soon and do it again. And maybe we can hit, maybe politicians have a conscience. Hope they do. But I'm going to try to, and I hope you will too, try to hit them where their conscience is, you know, if you can. But sometimes legislation just, and that's what happened in Minnesota this year, was politics over policy. And you run into that when you run into with legislative kinds of stuff.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
This is Alice Dole from Roanoke, Virginia.
Roanoke, Virginia, in the mountains of Virginia.
That's right, the Blue Ridge Mountains.
You know, probably the most beautiful part of the world I've ever been in. I really thought the Blue Ridge was pretty, very pretty.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So the question is, you mentioned earlier that bullying is about power. And I have heard that often bullies are themselves victims at home or otherwise. Could you speak to that?
Oh, probably. You know, it's like, you know, sexual predators often have been sexually abused themselves. And I think the young man that came and punched the kid with ADHD, the football player, Well, he came with a whole set of issues from his dysfunctional family. So, yeah, that's probably the truth. And then this one woman said, the little fifth grade girl, well, it's not surprising because, you know, her mom was a bully when she was in school. This was a, you know, very small town where everybody knew each other and knew the history and so forth, too. So, yeah, that's probably the case. Or they watched dad doing it or mom doing it. And that's sometimes the case, too. You know, we've had parents who, kids are bullies and, you know, hey, yeah, well, chip off the old block. Good thing he stands up for himself, you know. Let me give you a history here. I had this, as I mentioned, I gave a talk at a Native American reservation, and there was this huge, huge tribal police officer. I mean, he was huge. He came up to me and he said, you know, I don't know if I did the right thing. He said, I got a kid. He was in wrestling. He's in sixth grade. And he's getting picked on by the other kids for a variety of reasons. And he's in wrestling. And he said he was had to wrestle in this tournament, town tournament, against the kid that was bullying him. And he said, my kid was scared to death. He said, I don't want to go. I said, you go. He said, you go. Do the best you can. Do the best you can. I'll be proud of you. Well, lo and behold, this kid who was being bullied, he went to the wrestling meet, and of course, you're going to say, well, he won. Yes, he did. He pinned the kid that was doing the bullying. And that tribal officer was so proud of his child. And he said, you know, that kid, he said, I know the family. He said, I know he's bullying my kid. But he said, that kid that was doing the bullying, he comes from just a terrible dysfunction family. So, yeah, that's often the case. Often in the workplace, too, you know. We see that harassment in the workplace. It's a power kind of thing. It's usually that sometimes people who do intimidation in the workplace are oftentimes people who are probably, maybe perhaps intimidated elsewhere in their life as well. So, yeah, that the bully is often been bullied at home or seen some certain kinds of things that dysfunction in the home that causes them to do that. They may feel powerless at home. Maybe they're being beaten by their dad, whatever. And they may come to school and then lash out. Or, like I said, this football player, just terrible dysfunction. I don't think his folks beat him, but they never came to his activities. In fact, parents' night for football never showed up. He walked out in the middle of the football field. So-and-so, so-and-so, parents are Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. They didn't come out. He walked out by himself, hung his head. But that's where he came from, too. So. He left that town. He graduated from high school, got a small football scholarship, and he put that town in his rearview mirror and has not been back. Hope he's doing well.
I have a question, Tori.
Yep.
From Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, okay.
Yes. You talked about the survey, and is that completed, or is that still in being formulated? Or
no, it should be up. It should be on that. It should be on the website that Kathy mentioned. It should be out there. I sent it in. Yep.
Okay.
So it's on there. Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, does it include the form of bullying for intimidation? Sorry. And
intimidation.
Yes.
Well, I think so. You know, it doesn't maybe use that word, but I think if you looked at it, it talks about, you know, it's pretty comprehensive. So I don't know that it exactly uses the word intimidation, but I think it's implied in there. It's a pretty, you know, yeah.
Okay, and also, does it direct, for a child who's being bullied by their teacher, would it capture that for a child?
I think it does. Who you're being bullied by, I think so.
Okay.
Let me look and see. Let me look at it. It's been a while since I've looked at this survey.
I don't have it in front of me.
Okay. I'm just thumbing through it now because I don't have it up on my screen. You know, it doesn't specific. It's pretty general. Let's see. It does say other students, but it also talks about being embarrassed or threatened, and it doesn't specific. So if you've been embarrassed or threatened by your teacher, it doesn't say by teacher, but it doesn't say by other students either. So again, depending on the sophistication, I would think a third or fourth grader probably wouldn't get by that, but maybe a junior high or a high school student might pick that up and say, hey, teacher, you know?
Okay. Okay, I ask because my child was intimidated and threatened by his teacher this past year. So.
Yeah, and you know something? I mentioned the one example of that, the kid with autism, but you know, unfortunately, it happens more than we'd like to admit.
It does, unfortunately. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, my name is Pat, and I'm calling from Grants Pass, Oregon.
Grants Pass, Oregon. Where's that by?
We're in southern Oregon, not too far from the California border.
Up near the Dells?
Oh, no, way south of there.
Really? South of the Dells? Okay.
Southwestern Oregon. We're not too far from the coast, but close to California also.
I see. Okay.
And you need to come visit out here if you think it's beautiful back there.
Okay, fine. Okay.
My question is...
Oregon, but I've never been to your area. Okay.
My question is, how many states have laws that include the victim of the bully?
Most of them with A++ ratings do.
Okay. Because I think they should have programs that would include counseling or something for the victim.
And that's what I said. The A++ states do. In fact, the one in North Dakota, if I'd slipped over that, I shouldn't. The bully itself, there's programs for the bully and the program counseling for the kid, the student being bullied. And a good comprehensive program addresses both. And Oregon, let me just see what yours is. Oh, where did I put that?
No, we're an A rating. I looked it up, and I just wanted to know how many other states
have
the A+.
Ones with the A double pluses do both.
Great. Well, that's something we can work on then.
Absolutely. If your state's not that A++ rating, you know, it should be. And like I said, Minnesota, Montana got an F because they don't have one. Well, the next lowest rated state is Minnesota with a C- because we got one with no teeth. So, got a lot of work to do there. But like I said, if you know, look at your law, compare it to some of the A++ ones, maybe states in your area that are similar size to you, and see if you can see the difference, and then if there's something that your state needs to work on.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Johnson?
My name is John, but that's okay. I'll answer to Mr. Johnson as well.
Okay. John, this is Pam, Independence Inc., Minot, North Dakota. I have a consumer here. He is a former student, and he would like to make a statement.
Sure, fine.
And here he goes. He's going to introduce himself and then make a statement.
I'm John. I have a paper of statements here. One I got... there's been even in youth groups, especially certain groups, especially youth groups, one being made fun of from the situation he goes through, and people not helping him and stuff, and nobody's thinking about anybody but themselves, and they go through situations that they don't like going through and stuff, and for social alienation, like being treated like some things that they're not and that they don't like, and people not getting to know them and stuff, especially me and this stuff. I'm talking about me here, actually. Things I've had, oh, y'all. Being left alone and stuff, and being mistreated, and...
And John, this is an example of a student that's been abused. This is the voice of a student that's been abused, or I'm sorry, bullied. So
abuse is something that the legal system could work with.
Uh-huh.
Bullying is a little different issue.
Oh, sure.
That I understand there. One of the things, and I didn't catch all of what he said, but. Talking about going to different functions, that's why a bullying program, anti-bullying program, should include the whole community, not just the schools. And it's got to include your SIL, for example. I know which SIL you're from. It's got to include the church community, the youth community, whether it's youth hockey or or other kinds of youth activities, community rec, those sorts of things, a good program is all encompassing. Yep.
But it's mainly a churchy kind of thing. It's nothing unreligious. It's not like hockey programs or anything like that. What kind of youth I meant is some kind of church thing.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that at all. All I heard is it's something with the church. Was he being bullied in church? I didn't catch that. Or was the church a refuge? Oh, I didn't catch what he was getting at there.
A church youth thing. Not exactly church. It's kind of a youthful thing. One thing, not nothing to do with anything. Place, but just a place for itself.
Okay. I still didn't. I'm sorry. My speakerphone is. It doesn't pick up very well. Sorry.
Okay, he was just inferring to a youth program that he attended where he was bullied, so.
That happened, absolutely, like I said, absolutely, and that should be brought to the attention of the youth leadership of that particular group. That's why those kinds of places, whether it's a church group or any kind of a youth group, community rec, those kinds of things, they should be at the table in a community-wide anti-bullying program, not the schools.
Okay. Well, thank you, John.
What was strange
is the responsibility of the SIL to maybe facilitate that if the community is not doing that, in my opinion.
Right. Okay. And, yes, we'll to take that on. I think John just wants to give a closing statement, and then we'll be off.
I even been at people who don't know who they're talking to, who don't get to know somebody, or they get in the stuff where they don't know what they're doing, or who they're talking to. Certain people get into that stuff and they treat you like they think they know about you, but yet they don't know it. Yet they don't know anything, and they don't get to know you and that stuff. And sometimes it just seems as if you can make more than one picture of certain abuse or neglect or being made fun of. Those all can be connected to bullying itself, like social alienation. It's like a come up kind of thing. You can bring up more than one thing. We are.
Yeah, and that's true. And that happens, unfortunately. Like I said, that young lady that was perpetrated to have lice, who didn't have lice that I was aware of, but yet nobody got to know her. Nobody got to know her, and I think that's what you're saying. You were being made fun of, and nobody knows. Nobody got to know you, and that happens, unfortunately, a lot. Kathy, we're over time, aren't we?
We are. We're at our 4:30 mark right now. So, if there are no other questions, I'd like to say thank you to John very much. Did anybody have anything else to close, real quick?
Hi, this is Rebecca from Freedom Resource Center. I just had a quick question of John.
Sure.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Just wondering.
Is Freedom Resource Center in Fargo, North Dakota?
I'm actually in the Fergus Falls office, so I'm just your neighbor to the south. But yes, my question is related to your work with the North Dakota bullying law that is in place. Does that leave each school responsible for developing their own anti-bullying policy within the school as long as they provide the components in the law, or is it across the board, you know, that's what is expected, is what was in the law, and that no school will have...
Each school is an independent school district. By that... Each school develops its own policy. They take their lead from the community. So, for example, in the larger communities, obviously, their policy is going to be different from the one that I said was in this town of 63 students in grade 8 through 12. The curriculum is going to be different. Their needs are different. In some of the small schools, everybody knows everybody. In the larger schools, they don't. So, no, and that's a good thing about this. That's a good thing about most laws of A++. They let each school determine their own, but the state says each district, each school must have this, 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 and this. They must have these certain components in there, but how you do that, or they don't tell you which curriculum to use. They don't tell you how many trainings your teachers must have, but they must have some training. But it's dictated by each community. So most good laws, no, you don't want a statewide thing because, you know, what's germane in Portland, Oregon might not be germane in Bend, Oregon. How about that, Oregon? You know, I know those are towns. Or what's in germane in Boston might not be germane in someplace else in Massachusetts. So most good laws, the components have to be there, but they let each school determine what those components must be.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that last question. I appreciate it. I'd just like to say thank you all for being here today. And John, especially you, that was a very wonderful presentation. Thank you. And again, I'd like to invite you all to visit the April website where you'll find the PowerPoint that we discussed today. And there will also be an archive copy and a transcript of today's presentation within the next day or so. Again, go to www.april-rural.org and look for IL Conversations. If you have any questions about today's discussion, you can reach me at Kat Hatch, it's K-A-T-H-A-T-C-H, all one word, at charter.net. And this has been an IL Conversation, and it was presented by the IELNet, which is operated by Independent Living Research Utilization at TIRR Memorial Hermann in partnership with Nickel and April. Support for the presentation was provided by the U.S. Department of Education Rehabilitation Services Administration. No official endorsement of the Department of Education should be inferred. So again, thanks everybody, and goodbye, and have a great afternoon. Bye.
Thanks, Captain.
Has left the conference.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
I'm still here, but I'm just...
Patty, captioner.
Has left the conference. Has left the conference.
Kathy.
Has left the conference.
Jason McDowell.
Has left the conference.